Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
This is the Defense Minister, Moshe Yaalon, talking just a couple of weeks ago. Israel is going to hurt Lebanese civilians, to include kids of the family. We went through a very long discussion. We did it then. We did it in the Gaza Strip. We are going to do it in any round of hostilities in the future. That's the Defense Minister. This is the Military Chief of Staff, Benny Gantz. The next round of violence will be worse and see this suffering increase. He headed up the military assaults on Gaza, the last two. This is the Minister for Education in the Netanyahu government. There will never be a peace plan with the Palestinians. I will do everything in my power to make sure they never get a state. He also said, if you catch terrorists, you simply have to kill them. I've killed a lot of Arabs in my life, and there's no problem with that. This is the Minister for Justice. Palestinians are all enemy combatants. This also includes the mothers of the martyrs. They should follow their sons. Nothing would be more just. They should go, as should the physical homes in which they raised the snakes. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised there. That's the Israeli Minister for Justice in the last few months. The Israeli Minister for Deputy Minister for Defense. Palestinians are beasts. They are not human. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, C.P. Hotley, this is the last one. My position is that between the sea and the Jordan River, there needs to be one state only, the State of Israel. There is no place for any agreement of any kind that discusses the concession of Israeli sovereignty over lands conquered in 1967. Now, these are the official statements of several ministers of the current government of Israel. In one case, actually advocating genocide of all Palestinians, including children, and calling them snakes. Now, can I ask you, Taoiseach, do you not think that if we're defining terrorism, that is the language and thinking of terrorists, that it is absolutely unacceptable in civilized politics, in civilized international relations, for the heads of government of a state that we carry on normal relations with and who you met in Paris to advocate those sort of views when we know they have also led on to the deaths of thousands of Palestinians, innocent men, women and children? What have you to say, Taoiseach, about those sort of views being expressed by the Israeli government?
March 2nd, 2019, and I wanted to begin with that video yet again. Those that watch this channel regularly have noted that I've played that before. But this is one of the topics we're going to get into today specifically, and not just Israel's attack on Ireland, but the U.S. Congress helping to lead that attack against Ireland. That's an older video, but it still relates specifically to Netanyahu's current cabinet. And it just needs to show you this whole show today is going to be diving into this topic specifically. I decided to do something interesting and fun and different today because I was sick and I missed a few days over the last week. I decided I'm going to do two daily wrap-ups today, which won't be a regular occurrence. But I'm going to be doing this show specifically, and then I'm going to be following up later tonight with another show with all of the other topics that I couldn't include in this show specifically, because this show is going to be focused on Israel, Zionism, crime, international law, and violation of human rights. Now, these topics, as they apply to Israel, are aggressively being manipulated and suppressed, and those who choose to rightly speak out about the crimes of Israel and its allies, their agenda, and the obvious ways in which this agenda is affecting U.S. policy specifically, are ironically labeled as the extremists themselves and anti-Semites. Well, let's take a look at just the current events, not even the mountain of historical evidence that show clearly why these people are villains. And it has nothing to do with race or creed. Now, race and creed are clearly being used in all of this to achieve an agenda, but the willingness to speak out about this real issue and how deep it goes is about a political ideology, but political terrorism. It's textbook crimes, and those really seeking to cover up and obfuscate them by using today's best weapon, victimhood. So let's get into this, all of this discussion today. There's a lot of interesting things specifically about Israel, Zionism, anti-Semitism, BDS, all in this today. But again, make sure you tune in later tonight for a show with a lot of other information that has to do specifically with today. I'm just trying to play catch up from being sick over the week. So let's get into this, because this is, there's some big information coming out from yesterday and today, specifically in regard to what I would say is perception of Israel and really the rightful perception of what they're actually doing on the ground, their violation of international law, their human rights violations, their crimes with impunity in Syria and all over the world for that matter. But this one specifically, the first story, which I found to be the most powerful, comes directly from the United Nations. This from Antimedia, from the United Nations Council: Israel intentionally shot children and journalists in Gaza. Now, those that have been paying attention, those that have been watching this show, you go, yeah, no duh. We've been seeing this happen. We've seen the video evidence. We've seen the international community speak out. But the people that only watch mainstream media would not have heard any of that. Now we're getting it. And by the way, mainstream media will also not report on this, even though it's coming from the United Nations. But the United Nations themselves are now openly saying that they intentionally shot children and journalists. There's really no way to misunderstand what that's saying. So Israel is, as usual, furious at the United Nations Human Rights Council, and as they really are just about all of the time, as Israel tends to violate a lot of human rights, verifiably so, and is really not a fan of having them called out. Now, the council has announced an independent inquiry into the protest at the Gaza border, which we've been covering for a long time. Now, every Friday, for those that may not know, for months now, Palestinian protesters have rallied near the Gaza border to protest the illegal Israeli blockade. Now, every Friday, without fail, Israel shoots a large number of unarmed people. Now, the investigation ruled that there are, quote, reasonable grounds to believe Israel violated international law. Reasonable grounds. Yeah, you mean when they shot that unarmed child? That's probably more than reasonable grounds. But we've heard United Nations say this before. Nonetheless, it's still a positive thing to see it put out there, which challenges the general narrative of what's really going on there. Now, the report noted that 154 out of 183 people killed by Israel in this one time frame were entirely unarmed. So 154 unarmed people on record verifiably were shot by Israel. No mincing words there. That is a simple fact. Imagine if anyone else would have done that around the world that was a U.S. adversary. Now, they noted Israel had repeatedly, deliberately shot children and journalists, as well as disabled protesters. Not we think, not we would look into, but that they, on record, verifiably, the UN report showed they did this. They repeatedly, deliberately shot children and journalists, as well as disabled protesters. Now, international law, needless to say, you know, frowns on those sort of acts. I think we can all recognize, but only seems to really care about them when it's a U.S. adversary that's carrying them out, or allegedly carrying them out. In this case, it's not allegedly. Very clearly, Israel's carrying this out, and they don't care because they're a U.S. ally. Now, while Israeli officials reacted with, you know, their typical outrage for calling out their crimes, it's noteworthy that they didn't actually deny any of the content in the report, just got angry that they were talking about it. Instead, acting Foreign Minister Katz argued Israel has, quote, a right of self-defense and the obligation to defend its citizens and its borders, apparently against unarmed children and women and disabled protesters. Now, in essence, he is arguing that Israel had an obligation to shoot what we've now confirmed are unarmed children. This is a complete fact verified by the United Nations. And now they're simply arguing, well, we have a right to defend ourselves against these unarmed children. Now, the United Nations report says that Israel shot over 6,000 unarmed protesters over a 9-month period. Why? Well, because they were protesting Israeli abuse of Palestinians. And you can't do that because then you're an anti-Semite. The truth is, the information is coming out. The reality is breaking through the cracks. And that's why they're so aggressively cracking down on people like myself and independent media, because we are showing what's really going on, and it's working. People are beginning to wake up to the lies. And of course, without you know, any shock whatsoever, mainstream media comes out of the woodwork. Israel rejects UN report on Gaza deaths as theater of the absurd. Because that's their job, is to stand with these people. And the theater of the absurd is what he calls it. The theater of documenting actual facts on the ground is at the theater of absurd, of course, because they're not denying these facts. They're simply saying that we shot that unarmed child and woman and the journalist and the doctor because we were protecting ourselves. That is what they would say is the theater of the absurd. But for the next story, which shows very clearly just how stupid that claim really is, from Middle East Monitor report, Israel killed 8 Palestinians and wounded 810 just in February. Separate report. Separate information showing you that this is not the theater of the absurd. This is Israel carrying out Israel foreign policy supported by U.S. and its allies, which is simply breaking the law with impunity, killing people because they are the people that we showed in the beginning of the show that you see as less than human. They don't deserve these rights because this is God's given this land to Israel, which is a whole topic we can get into, which I'm actually going to finish with a video today that shows you why that's actually not true, even in regard to Orthodox Judaism. But the point is that this is a political movement using this religious ideology to manipulate people and killing those that they deem lesser than. It's pretty simple. Even their own information makes that quite clear. It's not anti-Semitic to point that out because it's exactly what they claim they're doing when you actually get these people in a relaxed state to talk about what's going on. Now, when I say these people, I'm talking about the Zionist political ideology, to make that always abundantly clear for those that try to take things out of context. Now, Israeli occupation forces killed 8 Palestinians, including 4 children, and wounded 810 others in occupied West Bank, Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip, according to this new official report. Now, we're just talking about, you know, these aren't, the idea that they try to make all of these people out to be terrorists, again, is just it's patently stupid. It's verifiably false. We're talking about average children and Palestinians killed just because they were present. Now, the report also said that Israel arrested 500 Palestinians and just demolished 43 Palestinian homes and facilities because they chose to. Now, according to the report, six of the 8 fatalities, it says, were killed during the protests in Gaza and 2 in the West Bank. Again, protesting what should be their human rights. Now, the number included Faris Barad, who is 51, who died in prison. Now, Barad, who spent 28 years in prison, died as a result of medical negligence, and Israel is actually currently still keeping his body, along with the bodies of 37 other Palestinian martyrs, in what they're calling, quote, a flagrant violation of international humanitarian laws, which it is. There's no way around that. They're just doing it anyway. Which is what all of this has to do with, a brazen disregard for what everybody else is held to. And of course, held to at the barrel of a gun by U.S. military force. But Israel can do it and it doesn't matter because they're a U.S. ally. Laws, morality, don't play into this. Now, of those wounded, 710 were injured during the Great March of Return protests, which is what they're called, in the besieged Gaza Strip. And they include 4 paramedics, actually, and 3 journalists. And this is not the first of either of those categories to be killed while these protests were taking place. Palestinian journalists, Associated Press journalists, doctors from Canada, on and on and on. Verifiable cases of people just being openly shot, completely away from any of the actual fire, just because they were there helping the Palestinians. Now, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights said that the Israeli occupation forces wounded 83 civilians during the crackdown on the protests of the Great March of Return just yesterday, including 23 children, 1 woman, and 3 paramedics, and another journalist. I mean, just really think about if any of this, even a fraction, was happening in Venezuela, happening in Syria, happening in Yemen, this would be a big story. Or maybe not Yemen, because they just try to ignore that story altogether. But the reality is that no other group would be allowed to get away with this except for Israel. I challenge anybody to show me otherwise. Now, moving on to another story, which is why we started with the video from the member of parliament from Ireland, because that is a powerful video. This is the next story coming from Electronic Infodata entitled U.S. Lawmakers Bully Ireland Over Move to Ban Israel's Settlement Goods. Now, here's where we get into another aspect of the story of people actually just doing what's within their rights. As the government of Ireland deciding that, yes, we acknowledge Israel to be a criminal state. We acknowledge that they're violating human rights with impunity, that they're bombing Syria without any repercussions, that they're killing Palestinians on a regular basis and treating them like less than human. So we are going to boycott the goods that they're illegally selling in their illegal occupied territory. It's pretty simple. And now, not just Israel attacking them like you would expect, but Congress, U.S. lawmakers standing up to side with them on something that has nothing to do with the United States. But it does, you see, because the U.S. has put itself in with whatever Israel's trying to accomplish overseas, which we can see very clearly by all of U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East and all of the open admissions by Netanyahu and his cabinet about what they're doing. And we can see that Trump, in regard to Iran, the nuclear deal, and basically everything, Al-Tanf in Syria, basically everything of value, not value as it's good to Americans, but things that can really change things in Congress have to do with changing things better for Israel. All of the things we've been talking about over the last, since the new Congress, very few of them actually had anything to do with helping Americans. And we can see clearly yet again that here's Congress stepping in to do what's best for Israel. Good thing these people are doing what their constituents actually want. Now, a grouping of U.S. politicians has openly threatened Ireland with economic repercussions, you know, sanctions. What they do would hurt the people of any country when that country doesn't do what the U.S. empire wants them to do. This is their way of manipulating everybody, which is why a lot of people are trying to get rid of the dependency on the dollar, because this is what gives U.S. the power to use these sanctions against people. And again, why one nation has the ability to cast sanctions on the rest of the world, even over the United Nations, is beyond me. It shows you what the real power structure is. But they've threatened Ireland with economic sanctions if it bans goods from Israel settlements in the occupied West Bank. Again, ask yourself why that has anything to do with U.S. Congress or U.S. politicians, what Ireland chooses to do with its own country. Now, both houses in the Irish Parliament have approved the Occupied Territories Bill to outlaw Israel's settlement exports during the past few months. Now, the bill would outlaw exports from Israel's settlements in the West Bank, all of which are illegal under international law. Thank you for the super chat. All of which are, again, illegal under international law. It's a silly question to continue to ask. Why is it that the U.S. and Israel just don't have to deal with international law? They just do what they want. They just sidestep it and do what they want, and everybody else gets held to it. I mean, really ask that question. It's a very clear violation of international law to do what they're doing. Now, again, it would outlaw these exports. And 10 U.S. lawmakers have reacted to the moves by warning that a ban could have, quote, potentially severe implications for their country. That's a veiled threat, saying that we're here to protect Israel because that's our job as U.S. politicians. And if you do anything that threatens their hold over their importation into your country, which is crazy, that will have potentially severe implications for all of you. Now, in a letter to Irish political leaders, those 10 members of Congress suggested that some corporations investing in Ireland would be violating U.S. export regulations if the Dublin authorities enforced a ban on Israel's settlement goods. Again, just simply saying that we are going to affect your economy if you don't do what we want. Now, that appears to be a reference to the rules introduced by the U.S. during the 1970s in response to the Arab League boycott of Israel. Again, rules they implemented in a previous incident when other groups decided to try to boycott Israel for their crimes. The timing of this is humorous. Now, under these rules, U.S. companies may not take part in boycott activities unless they've been approved by the federal government. Again, kind of staggering to realize. Thank you again for the super chat. To realize that they are using our political system as a way to benefit and control things in a flow that's positive for Israel. It's very, very clear. Now, claiming that the, quote, stakes for Ireland are high, the lawmakers note the importance of U.S. investment for the country. They cite data suggesting that U.S. accounted for 67% of all foreign direct investments in Ireland during 2017. Now, hear what they're saying there. They jump away from saying that this is bad for Israel and it might affect your economy to saying that if you do this, in a separate concept, because the U.S. is accounting for 67% of your investment, that will simply hurt that, right? Not because there's another scenario here, but the U.S. is willing to manipulate its economic relationship with Ireland just because they're fighting against Israel. Pretty cut and dry. Now, Gary Liston, a lawyer for Sadaka, a Dublin-based group campaigning for Palestinian rights, described the letter from the U.S. lawmakers as, quote, a brazen effort by a major power to interfere with the democratic process of Ireland. How funny is that? Something which should be of great concern to every Irish politician. How humorous. Again, another example to the bevy of examples of how people are wringing their hands and clutching their pearls over Russian meddling, and then they go and directly meddle with somebody else's democracy. It's ridiculous. They have no sense of themselves, it would seem. Rather, I think they do. They just don't think anybody else will see it, or at least those that are propagandized. He goes on to say, quote, there is no reason why our politicians in Ireland should be any less outraged by this interference in our democratic process than U.S. politicians would be if the situation were reversed. Perfect thing to say. If this were completely reversed, the U.S. would never stand for this. Now, he urged the people involved to take a stand against this interference in their democratic process for the sake of Irish democracy, if nothing else. But again, the bottom line is you can see that the U.S. is willing to put itself in a position where it would actually hurt the U.S., hurt Americans, hurt the U.S. economy to some degree, just because they're trying to stop them from hurting Israel. Again, how many times do we need to see that U.S. interests always take a second back, take the back seat to Israeli interests in regard to our own political system? I mean, this stuff is right in front of your face. Now, to another story, which again shows you that the very people that they're protecting, that our own congressional bodies are protecting, are really bad people. Or at least that it appears that way with the thing. Well, clearly, the crimes they're committing around the world are very easy to see, as the United Nations literally just said they're intentionally doing this. Netanyahu is behind all of it as the leader of their country. But this is where it gets into the particulars. As a person, Netanyahu is now also being indicted. And this is the group that the U.S. is supporting blindly. For Middle East Eye, Israeli Attorney General decides to indict Netanyahu over corruption. So it's not as if there's no evidence to suggest that, like, people go, why is the U.S. blindly supporting this group and fighting against people that are far, far, you know, better people in the world? And you go, this is something we can point to and say, look, even his own political system acknowledges that he's corrupt. He is fraudulent. That doesn't mean that indictments can't be fake. It doesn't mean, and first of all, it's important to understand that an indictment is not found guilty of, you're simply being officially charged with a crime. He could be innocent for all we know. I don't think that's the case, in my opinion, but he could be. And an indictment can, there's a lot of things that follow after that. So this is simply the first step in actually trying to charge him, or rather trying to get him convicted of the crimes they believe he's guilty of. But the bottom line is this guy is fraught with all kinds of controversy, all kinds of broken laws, all kinds of war crimes, and yet they still completely support him without fail. It's time to wake up, Americans watching this show, because it's really clear what's actually going on. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is now to be indicted for bribery, fraud, and breach of trust, pending a hearing as part of three main corruption cases. Now, the Attorney General said on Thursday that this was all going to be taking place, and this is officially underway at this. This has been a long time coming, actually. A lot of people are reporting on the idea that he's about to be indicted, that these cases are coming. Well, this is officially moving forward now. And of course, they point out this could severely ruin his chances for re-election, which may be the entire point. Maybe this is an entire political effort to get him out of the way for other people, as we've seen things shifting, which truthfully, I don't think anything will really change in the direction of Israel that much based on who gets elected. There's much more going on behind the scenes, but we can hope. With Netanyahu out of the way, maybe things will get better. But he's to be given the opportunity to argue against being indicted at a hearing before any charges are actually brought forward. Now, the date for that hearing has not been set, so who knows when that will happen. But in a televised address, Netanyahu dismissed the decision as a witch hunt. Right? So now we have one is a witch hunt and the other is the theater of the absurd, like we talked about. It's just funny how these things that are based entirely on some pretty obvious factual information are just using these button terms, like Trump calls this the witch hunt, and it's the same things we keep hearing. Even though I do agree that one is a witch hunt in regard to the Russiagate scenario, but it's these terms are used for a reason, right? To cast doubt on something, to basically say, don't even bother looking at the information because it's that crazy. And a lot of people actually listen to them. Now, the Attorney General said in his explanation to Netanyahu, quote, "You have hurt the image of public service in public faith and public faith in it. You acted in a conflict of interests. You abused your authority while taking into account other considerations that relate to your personal interests and the interest of your family. You corrupted public servants working under you." So it just sounds like every politician I've ever heard of. So it's interesting that this may be actual political ploy. I haven't seen a politician that isn't corrupt. That's my opinion. In particular, in the United States. What he just read there describes basically every person in our Congress that I could point to. Now, soon after the Attorney General's decision was announced, Netanyahu's political opponents began to call for his resignation, of course. Avi Gabe, leader of the oppositional Labor Party, called on Netanyahu to step down. I doubt that will happen. Says, quote, "Netanyahu, resign. Put an end to national shame and do not conduct the battle from the prime minister's home. Netanyahu embarrasses the state of Israel, destroys everything to save himself." It's pretty powerful. Now, he has been accused of offering regulatory benefits to Bezek Telecom's firms in return for its media arm providing positive coverage. Again, something you could see any politician doing. He's suspected of attempting to alter media coverage, attempting to broker a secret deal with the publisher of a best-selling newspaper. The deal again sought favorable coverage in return for pursuing legislation that would have limited the circulation of one of the paper's rivals. So very clear corruption, saying, cast us in a positive light in your paper and I'll manipulate what legislation passes so it'll benefit your paper. This goes back to the beginning of, you could date this all the way back. I mean, this reminds me of like the Hearst family in regard to cannabis in the United States and manipulating things based on the success of his newspaper and tree pulp. And, you know, the stories, this is what politicians do. So it's not just Netanyahu is clearly corrupt, but so are everybody else involved, and probably including the people that are trying to attack him. I think they're all guilty and corrupt, and I don't want to support any government. But I just want to be able to recognize that it's not just one bad guy that has to get out of the way. It's a corrupt system around the whole thing. Now, again, the favorable coverage in the newspaper I thought was a big one in order to pass legislation to benefit that paper. But Netanyahu and his family are also accused of receiving luxury gifts in exchange for personal or financial favors. Then Netanyahu, of course, denies all the charges and says they're all politically motivated, which could be the case. Now, Netanyahu is currently, which I find interesting in regard to the idea just of how corrupt this person is, may not be aware, he is currently holding three of the most senior positions in the government. Netanyahu is currently prime minister, he's currently foreign affairs minister, and he's currently defense minister. And this isn't all at once. This was over a process of period of time. And instead of actually just holding elections and having somebody new brought in or appointing somebody new, he just took the positions for himself. A real democracy taking place right in front of us. Now, due to all these issues, Netanyahu has now been seeking support. All of his attacks on him and his, you know, seemingly losing his position. He's been seeking support from his connections he's previously kept mostly from view, those with the very extremist ideologies that we all try to warn about. Here's a great article for the last article of this episode for today. From the 21st Century Wire, Netanyahu's slide toward Jewish fascism should shock Americans. Now, this topic in general is something that will get people censored. You cannot discuss the concept of Israeli supremacy or fascism without getting attacked and shut down as an anti-Semite. It's completely off the table, even though we're talking about a political ideology. We're talking about a government that has a right, or that we have a right to criticize as civilians. But no, you can't talk about the reality, otherwise you get cast as a racist. This is the biggest problem. This is the biggest manipulation in this topic. As we all know, as I've covered countless times, they're trying to manipulate the idea of anti-Zionism, of attacking, of really just calling out the crimes of the Israeli government with the idea of anti-Semitism. That is the big deal. And this, what we can see with Netanyahu in risk of losing his next election, really leaning into the extreme right, the people that really embody all of the things that we're worried about. The real, you know, supremacist mentality, the Zionism concept, and how they're hijacking the whole concept, the whole religious ideology. Now, as the article begins, more and more Israel is finding increasing difficulty in justifying its overtly far-right ethno-nationalists and antiquated apartheid policies, which they very clearly are, in a 21st century world which doesn't regard its policies and practices as civilized or acceptable. Now that would be speaking for about 95% of the world. The sad part is in that 5% are the United States, Saudi Arabia, and the people that will blindly support Israel. The vast majority of the world recognize what they're doing is exactly what the U.S. pretends they're fighting in other places. You just can't ignore that. But one of the main problems facing Israel is its attempts to project this normal image to the rest of the world. And it's that the Zionist doctrine, which claims the whole of former Palestine as being a gift from God, is itself a form of pure ideological fundamentalism. Again, simply saying that because this is, and again, this is even taking out of misrepresenting what the doctrine actually says, but claiming that they have a right to this land, regardless of who's on it, because it's a gift from God. And this is what we're talking about. This is that Zionist doctrine that we're discussing. And it's now morphed into the official extremist state doctrine, as the article puts it. Now, this extremist ideological stance then gives the state of Israel its sole claim to the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and key portions of Gaza. Hence, Lucid's status quo has gone past the point of no return, in terms of Israel's inclusion into the international community, which sees running a pogrom in the 21st century as being not only patently illegal, but also vile in a moral and ethical sense. And just the thing that sticks out for me is the reality that even if you believe that this gift from God concept, how does that account for the Palestinian people and their rights as human beings? You could have a discussion in there somewhere. There's no logical reason to literally occupy someone's land and kick them off and then treat them like lesser human beings. That's the bottom line for me, regardless of what you believe. Now, rather than evolving towards a more moderate position, Israeli hawks are pushing the state institutions even further to the right, as the article puts it, in a bona fide fascist camp. And this is where Netanyahu is now leaning because of his issues from the rest of Israel. Now, this week, Benjamin Netanyahu faced media criticism for hosting the right-wing prime ministers of Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary, who have been accused of being anti-immigrant and anti-Semitic. But in response, Lucid MK Anat Berko epitomized Netanyahu's politics in a single sentence. He said, quote, in regard to these people, they might be anti-Semites, but they're on our side, which is staggering. The point is, there have always been extremist elements in the Israeli political sphere. Anyone paying attention can see that there's abundant evidence right in your face to make that clear. And talking about this as being cast as an anti-Semitic idea. There's always been extremist elements. Yet in the past, they've just more been outcast or put to the side. The idea of anti-Semitism is being used as a political tool. So the idea of pointing the reality of the increasingly extremist mentality of these people that are aligning with the current prime minister is just anti-Semitic, talking about something that has nothing to do with it. We're talking about political ideology. And the reality is that there are a lot of Jews against Zionism and the apartheid state of Israel. And by the U.S.'s own forced definition, being anti-Zionist is now anti-Semitic, which means that they basically are calling these Jews anti-Semitic, which is in the whole topic is getting out of control. But the reality today is that all of this stuff you can see, there are mountains of evidence dating well beyond today to show you the very clear, the driving force behind what they're actually doing in Palestine, what they're doing in the Middle East. And it has nothing to do with helping people, being a democracy, or spreading human rights. The reality is they are literally ethnically cleansing an entire race, and the U.S. is blindly supporting it and even attacking people that try to call it out as the very thing that they actually are, which is extremists. So I'm going to finish today with a great video on that exact topic to just show you exactly what I'm talking about. Now, again, for those that want to tune in later today, I am doing a second show today just because I want to cover all the other topics. I wanted to make this show specifically about Israel because there's a lot going on here about the idea of anti-Zionism, about Zionism in general, and all the manipulation therein. So please, if this interests you, please go out and do more research into these topics and find out that this has nothing to do with hate or race or creed. It has everything to do with morals, human rights, and fighting against those that try to use being a victim as a cover for their own crimes. I love you all, and I'll see you later today in the next show if you decide to tune in. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Basics of Jewish belief. Jews are forbidden to create a sovereign homeland for themselves. We are in exile by divine decree and commanded by the Almighty to be loyal citizens in the countries where we reside. Killing, stealing, occupying another's land, or oppressing an entire people is totally forbidden in Jewish religion. The state of Israel is illegitimate and criminal. It is a rebellion against God and a violation of the Jewish religion. It is a Nakba, a catastrophe for the Palestinian people, and a disaster for the Jewish people. We promote a totally free Palestine. We demand that all rights should be returned to the Palestinian people. We clearly state that Jews would be far more safe and the Jewish religion would be far better preserved under Palestinian rule over the Holy Land rather than under this illegitimate, destructive state of Israel. That authentic Jewry never recognized the legitimacy of the existence of the State of Israel, and therefore we cannot recognize Jerusalem as its capital. The State of Israel is no benefit to the Jewish people, and certainly the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel is not in their benefit. Zionist propaganda and intimidation of nations to support their State of Israel does not benefit the Jewish people. On the contrary, it is causing anti-Semitism and hatred towards Jews. The Zionists do this deliberately, dragging us into their conflict in order to further their own interests. We pray for the speedy and total dismantlement of this State of Israel. We hope that this should be peaceful, with no more suffering of anyone involved. And we strongly hope that once this obstacle to peace, this movement of Zionism, this State of Israel is no longer in power, we, peoples of all backgrounds, can once again live in peace.